Are you ready, CEO? Okay, now you can proceed.
Thank you, Jay. In terms of the strategic plan, I've taken note of your advice that the member has had the plan, and that I probably need to go through the key issues directly. Now, if you look at the strategic plan 2013-14, I'd like to highlight just the key issues that we come up with, which is on slide 30, which is daily post our source analysis, our scan of the environment, the deliberations, obviously with the board, and engagement with other stakeholders. There are a number of areas which we believe need to be elevated in the strategic plan as we move forward. One of those is the marketing of South Africa more aggressively as a business destination. I think I will skip these slides and go straight to, we have our strategic outcome oriented goals, and go straight to the key issues. And one of those that I highlighted was that we need to focus on marketing South Africa more aggressively as a business destination, meaning that a lot of our messages and communications need to cover that area, not to the exclusion of the other areas, but you know, our tourism assets, products and opportunities, as well as our culture and heritage, are increasingly well known and communicated. So we need to push the harder assets, which is the business side of things. We need to promote and serve South Africans to South Africans themselves, so we develop the confidence and the involvement, the engagement in building a strong country reputation and brand. One of the things we need to also do is to ensure that building and promoting the nation's brand translates into economic growth, job creation, and support for efforts to attract investors from within the continent and further afield. So that speaks to the shift towards the continent, as I highlighted earlier, that there is a lot more work that we should be doing on the continent, but also we need to ensure that, as the first point highlights, drive or work with the DTI and others to drive messaging about South Africa as a business destination. And with that as well comes a greater focus on implementing a strategy to position and profile South Africa competitively on the African continent. I'm sure the media report earlier would have shown you that those are some of the areas where we need to really place a lot of emphasis. And most critically, it's also, as I said, the second point speaks to the issue of perceptions on the continent. So at the same time as we position South Africa as a competitive destination on the continent, we need to address perceptions around issues that speak to xenophobia, etc., working obviously with the relevant departments. And then also aligning to the National Development Plan and promoting the vision and the desired impact of the National Development Plan will form a core area of the strategic plan 2013-14. The other area I would like to highlight, Chair, is the 20th anniversary of democracy in South Africa, which gives an opportunity for not only reflection, but to work with the lead departments such as arts and culture, which is the thing to really also communicate and you know, involve and get involved with South Africans in the celebration for democracy, but more importantly, also communicate the gains made to date. So those are some of the, over and above some of the issues that had been identified previously. We believe these are some of the key areas that we need to focus on. Might I also add that in terms of our focus on the African continent, obviously for this year, the AU or the Organization of African Unions was previously known, and the 50th anniversary thereof becomes a critical platform to then not only engage but also communicate. So that gives us a very positive environment to communicate on the continent. This is basically our marketing communications approach, which really breaks it down into our domestic and international focus, as well as the stakeholders and the target segments that we hope to speak to, and what it is that we would like to achieve, both at the domestic level as well as the international level. If you leave over, we have already talked to our target markets. If you look at our stakeholders, these are our stakeholder groupings that we have identified to work with. There is an important point that we need to highlight, which is the cooperation and collaboration with other agencies, as I said earlier. This comes from a matrix that we have developed for cooperation with, between Brand South Africa, Product South Africa, as well as South African Tourism. However, I must add, as I said earlier, we will bring into this matrix the Trade and Investment South Africa, as well as the GCIS. In terms of programs for the year, Chair, those are really our focus area in terms of areas, in terms of the programs domestically as well as internationally. And they really speak to those priorities that I have highlighted. And we will continue to use those strategic platforms as well as events to seek to position and profile South Africa internationally and here at home to obviously mobilize South Africans mostly around the National Development Plan, our infrastructure build program, as focal points for our communications programs. So I think that's, that really covers then our programs going forward. Obviously in our annual performance plan, we'll break these programs down into the level of detail that you saw earlier when I reported. In terms of corporate services, we've already highlighted some of the key issues we are going to focus upon from a corporate services point of view. There are basically four areas really, HR, legal and IT, and a greater focus on talent management, attracting higher quality staff, as well as things such as performance management. The HR plan, we've already covered that, I will not speak to these, but I'd like to really give some time to the CFO to then talk to the budget for the 2013-14 period. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. The budget for the outer years 2016 to 2018 has just been increased by a 6% as directed, and then we then have a market split in terms of how much we need to spend for international and domestic activities. We have focused more on international at 60%. Amongst other things, it's mainly because of the focus to market South Africa as a business destination. So we need to concentrate on those international markets. Basically, that's how then our budget has been informed in the split of 60-40 and the 6% increase on each year.
Anything? Before I go to members for questions, Deputy Chair.
Thank you, Chair. That's basically what we prepared for discussion today. If there are any further questions, we'd gladly take those. Otherwise, I'll defer that to you, Chair.
Thanks very much. Member, you know that you use your other document because there is a document for the to us, the detailed one, not the presentation. So when you ask your question, I know some of you read that detail one and make notes for questions and other things. But it's open for questions across the documents. Honorable Shin, your hands was up. Honorable Mtambi, you'll follow. Honorable Shin.
Thank you, Chair. I want to know what is the key ingredient, the key message that you're delivering internationally about why people should invest in South Africa. There's quite a bit of warm fuzzy stuff here, and you talk particularly about marketing South Africa as a business destination. And I would like to know what research you're doing into international perception of how friendly South Africa is to investors, apart from the fact that the economic climate right now is not good, both here and internationally. So internationally, the people are looking twice at their pennies to find safe markets for them to invest in if they are going to invest out of home ground at all. And so one wonders what message you're going to tell international investors about why they should be favouring South Africa, and particularly in comparison to other African countries. One thinks of Kenya, for example, Botswana. These are all tend to be more sort of attractive destinations for investment, and also when one thinks particularly of what are the competitive advantages that our sort of key African competitors would have against us. One thinks of better communications infrastructure, for example. I mean, our cost of communication is exceptionally high. Is that a deterrent to investment? Is our current labour unrest and all that sort of good thing, and some of our pending legislation and existing legislation, are these things impediment to businesses investing in South Africa? And if your research finds out that they are, what advice can you give to government, and does government actually listen to you? So I'm, you know, particularly interested in that because it's obviously a key, your key role. But I want to know what, actually have your slogan that sells South Africa, what do you actually say? Why, what is our key message that, about South Africa that would attract people instead of going to, you know, other countries? And I was particularly interested also in China, because some of your, I see it here as one of the key target markets, and you seem to have had quite a bit of success. So the media reputation has improved, which is interesting, you know, depending on the, you know, considering the language issues, whereas Russia's, you know, which also I would assume has similar language issues, has dropped radically in media reputation. And yet also the China has when it comes to improved international reputation, has dropped to 37 from 32 last year. It's quite a drop. You did talk about China earlier. And yet the China media reputation is quite high. And how do we correlate those different sort of scores, which, you know, we've improved on the one but dropped on the other? A lot of what I wanted to ask has already been addressed, so I think I'll just leave it at that. Thank you.
Thank you. Honourable Mutap. Are you done? Yes. Okay. Honourable Steyn.
Thank you, Chairperson. One of the shortcomings, I believe, in your strategic plan, and you may have it, you just haven't conveyed it to us, is some sort of a risk profile to you achieving your targets. Now, in your presentation earlier, you did talk about some of them. Honourable Shin mentioned some of them. Now, I think you need to be aware of these externalities over which you have very little control, that there is a big impact in what you're trying to achieve. And in some way, as much as you possibly can control it, you need to identify and put in place and measures to reduce those risks. Now, so that's the one thing. Now, coupled to that, you talk about your key issues, increased cooperation and partnership between Brain South Africa and other entities and government departments. Perhaps you can elaborate and say what type of cooperation you've got, or what type of cooperation, more importantly, you'd like to have that you're not getting with specific government departments. Because that is certainly something that, in the bigger scope of things within government, can be that risk can be reduced, or cooperation can be improved. But like I say, my concern is that, and you may have it somewhere in a more detailed document, but I don't get the sense that you deem it important enough, risky enough to actually highlight that, because they could have an impact on your results come the end of this new financial year. Then you're also talking, and I mean this has been at the heart of Play South Africa, promoting and selling South Africa. not only to South Africans, but obviously to the rest of the world, but more importantly within South Africa. We still see, 10 years later, or however long it may have been, that for various reasons, that businesses and even government often, notwithstanding our slogan about buying South African-made goods and so on, that, you know, you get Chinese imports, even by government and other entities. Now, there is something I think they should be driven on. Now, again, there are other factors related to that. Cost may be one of them, the unstable or the shaky labor market or whatever it may be. But notwithstanding those things, it is one of your targets, and it's one of the I would imagine, the primary tasks for Brain South Africa. So how do we improve that? How do we get every South African to be a brand ambassador? And again, there's a lack coming through. You're identifying key people, which is correct, probably whether they're sportsmen or a celebrity in some other fashion, correct. But I also believe that I should start possibly, maybe not start, but it should include public representatives at all levels of government. It should include employees of government in public service. We as public representatives get in touch with constituencies, with ordinary people out there. So if you don't use us as brand ambassadors, and we know very little about how to communicate that message, then we're losing that opportunity to, with our constituents, to spread the message. And you identify those unique people that move in particular circles, whether it's soccer or TV or whatever, that will interact with a particular market perhaps. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other question? Over to you for responses.
Thank you, Chair. In response to the Honourable Shin's question around the net saving, there's quite a number of questions in one, but I would respond as follows. One, we do research as Brain South Africa, for instance, to test the investor perceptions. There's a whole lot of research that is done in that area, but we do research as Brain SA ourselves. And obviously what we find or glean from that research helps us to refine and fine-tune our messaging. With regard to the messaging, there are other studies that are available from which we draw, and also we draw from other departments such as Treasury on some of the key factors that make us competitive, when you look at that in relation to other countries. So the messaging really is around South Africa as a leading economy on the continent, but which is also a very viable and attractive place to do business. Based on, for example, we would put on how we are competing in terms of, for instance, our financial services, our corporate governance, our records and accounting standards, and all those areas which are critical for investors. So we would really look at what is it that investors look for. If you talk about the issue of doing business, there's a study that does it's called a doing business index. We would draw on that, but more important, we draw on what South Africa is actually doing to become more competitive. So we look at what Treasury, for instance, is doing, either in the area of foreign exchange and making it more attractive to be headquartered in South Africa. These are things that would appeal to would-be investors. So our package of that information draws from a broad range of these messages. So it would be around Treasury messages, it would be around our own research, and it would be from the other departments such as the economic development as well as the international relations. And that's the kind of message package, and the message based obviously on facts and what South Africa is doing. Issues such as the cost of doing business, if you recall in the state of the nation address as well as in the budget speech, there is a very fundamental announcement around how government will seek to bring down cost of doing business, whether it's import charges, etc. So all these factors are different layers of the messaging that we put out there, depending on the target audiences. But it is obviously fact-based, it draws on facts, it draws on fair studies, it draws on the work that we also do, and on the basis of that we craft messaging. We make the messages available, obviously, and sometimes we craft the messages with the relevant role players, Treasury, but there are kind of generic messages that we put out there, which are based on all these facts that are drawn from the research we do and the studies that they report on such matters. So that's so I think the chairman needs to add, wants to add something.
depending on the particular subject matter, depending on whether it's business matter, or let's talk about our capability to stage major sporting events, for example. They are all under the umbrella of that common theme of inspiring new ways, which is, I guess, a disciplined way of communicating as opposed to just taking all the things that we have and use them almost like a silver bullet. You have to have a common thread that says, when we have found that one thing that we are good at relative to everybody else, how do we then communicate it to under the umbrella of inspiring new ways? I just thought I'd add that part because it gives us discipline in terms of how we formulate our message.
Thank you. China, I think it's important to highlight that the issue of the media education. I think it's important to know that media education is not a very volatile mess, which moves up and down based on trends. I think it's better to change over time. And for us, what we can do is over time. And if you look at the China, for example, that seems to us to be like a very positive trend. Now, if you look at Russia, why am I saying that there's a slight thing there? What's important is also to note that there's quite a significant amount of communication that has gone out into the market in Russia. But there's been improving perception in the Russian market as well. Whereas in the past, the awareness level was actually very low. There were times when we traced as few as just 5 people from South Africa in the entire Russian market. Now, there is starting to shift if you look at it. But I must also highlight here that part of this is also related to the active work that the ambassador is doing there with the support of them in terms of engaging with African leaders, foreign leaders directly. I know he holds a lot of roundtables in which we support him, and he goes out there and engages with the relevant potential investors. So I think it's a mix of approaches that we may use to speak with one. But I think as far as the two countries that you have highlighted, I do not necessarily think they don't like it. The language issue, but they are coming from a different base on all of them. Russia, for instance, is very old base, but because of our membership of the BRICS, we are increasingly starting to see more coverage in the market. And increasingly, a lot of it is becoming more aware and more savvy, and I think it's becoming positive. So I think it's important to look at it as a trend as opposed to a snapshot, and that's why we give an average over the year. But even if you look at it in the course of the year, you will see the fluctuations, and then that will lead to specific events, because the other one being highlighted the issue of externalities. Such individuals are prone or susceptible to externalities, and so you can't take a snapshot of these ones when they intend that happens, because that's our reputation in this market. One has to take a view of it over a longer period of time. I'm trying to address the issue of the EU, the EU Championship and how we leverage it. We are looking at the development of African partners, as we are now the lead department. In fact, we are going to have a number of engagements. On the 12th of June, for example,
On the 12th of June, for instance, we have planned a dialogue on this particular issue, which is focused on Africa. So we're planning a series of those because we see the celebration not only as something that happens on Africa Day or in this, it's something that is going to permeate throughout our programs for the year. So there are specific actions and activities planned throughout the year, but we will take a cue from the Department of Arts and Culture and work very closely with them on it. The issue of externalities and the risk, I must say, the CFO will confirm this. Our strategy is a risk-based one. Our approach to strategy is risk-based. So indeed, we would look at what are some of those externalities, some which we obviously do not necessarily have control over. And therefore, if you look at our strategic plan, it talks about the engagement with stakeholders. So we would highlight what we are picking up, for example, in the market, in our engagement with those stakeholders, in the hope that those issues can be addressed. But our approach to strategy is a risk-based one. The cooperation with our entities, as I said, in the promotion of South Africa, we've already started the cooperation and collaboration. So if you look at the matrix that we showed you, we believe that the issue of social cohesion, the issue of mobilizing South Africans is something that runs across various entities. but do we also say how do we each approach that? The example you gave about Chinese employees, yeah, something that thousands of Africans, for instance, we will support them in addressing that issue. Because that's within their remit or their purview. Most recent examples of our cooperation is with the recent business awards. Rather than do separate awards, we agreed with them that we'll do the business awards with them. South African Tourism now collaborate in terms of how we buy media, for instance, where how we share office space internationally instead of us or, you know, getting separate. So those are things that we are practically now beginning to do. And I think for us, the Play Your Part program is really all about what you raise all about staying around. How do we mobilize South Africans? And that's why we are spreading that program. And increasingly, you see that a number of government departments are also beginning to spread that message of how South Africans get involved. But how it's done, it will take different role players to then roll it out to South Africans. Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks very much for the responses. I can see Honorable Travis.
Thank you very much, Chair. It's your elbows, Chair. No, Chair, thank you very much, Chair, for the presentation.
It does not seem to make a difference anyway. Even if it's on or off, so it's better to be off.
No, Chair, thank you very much, Brent South Africa, for the presentation. But in your presentation, Jesus Christ. Okay. It's not about the heat, it's about the wind that comes up, whether cold or hot. No, Chair, when they were presenting, they correctly mentioned the issue of xenophobia. But I just want to check with them, like now there's a new phenomenon in South Africa that is happening. And you also mentioned South Africa as a leading economy in Africa. How does this thing of Marikana and the service delivery protests affect us? I think it will assist us a lot as politicians to know globally. How does they view us after that? Because even the xenophobic attacks, they viewed very seriously, but what about Marikana and the service delivery address in terms of investment?
Okay. Someone saying the political question, or can respond?
Look, I think for us, obviously, it is important to have a sense of how these developments, external developments, impact on the reputation and to, as I said earlier, share what our research reflects back to us, obviously, with yourselves, honourable member, and policy makers. The reality of the issue that we've had as the Deputy Chairman highlighted earlier, quite a very difficult communication environment with the build-up to Marikana. Our assessments and research show that after the elective conference, you see a spike in terms of the positivity because there were a lot of there was much certainty around a lot of the issues that have been asked and that were likely some of them related to, you know, the industrial action in Marikana. And so we then went out of there to a period where, excuse me, you had a few incidents that kind of, I think, that overshadowed the Marikana, such as, for instance, the crime issue and the rape issue. But those are not issues, as I said, you know, the media reputation is a very volatile. Those are not issues that would have damaged the image of the country as well. It's the continued and sustained, I suppose, and protracted, especially violent nature of things, of strikes that may have the impact of creating that kind of damage. So our research would reflect, for an example, that the focus internationally and I think in other quarters is how does South Africa respond and react to this issue. That becomes the critical benchmark. And on Marikana, I think you saw, yes, you had an incident that would potentially have a reputational impact on the country, but you also saw decisive action. And those are the kinds of things that then impact reputation over a long period of time. I think what is critical is to ensure that, you know, these matters, when they rear their heads, that they are dealt with decisively, that there's very clear indication of the fact that things such as rule of law will obtain, and that, you know, what they are known for as a country, those things will obtain. I think I've covered that, but I think our research, as we do it later, would show us, I think, over a period of 6 months, if there's been any major impact over time. But that's our current assessment of the situation.
Thanks very much.
David, sir? I thought the CEO had covered this, but part of it. But with issues of rotation management, because they are unplanned, the challenge is always who deals with the issue at what level. You know, when the Oscar Pistorius issue hit us, it so happened that the CEO and I were actually here at that time. And for a long time, the comments around the issue were coming from the policeman who was involved with the matter. And we were in a rush to get somebody much, much more important than the policeman to make a comment. Because if you tuned into CNN, CNN has turned that story into a crime story about South Africa, as opposed to limiting the story to a domestic matter that happened between two individuals. However, we need somebody to intervene very, very quickly, which is where our relationships with the other stakeholders kicks in. But it needs to kick in very quickly, because when you have a crisis, you cannot wait to say who is going to speak on this matter. So I thought that the CEO had dealt with that point, that, you know, it's how quickly you react and who you feel to deal with that matter. The more important the individual, the better the message. Thank you.
Thanks very much. The sitting arrangement is very difficult to see whether there is a hand or not. Honorable Shing?
Thank you. There was just one other question I wanted to ask. When we had your annual presentation report, your annual report presentation, we remarked on the number of people on the board, and 28 people. And I think that you said that you were going to prune this down, or that some of these people had dropped off on the wayside. Can you give us some indication of how big the board is now, and if there has been significant pruning?
It's still the same number of people, the number is sitting at 28. And unfortunately, the decision about the size of the board does not rest with the board itself, it rests with the executive authority. And, you know, we have given our report in terms of how we've seen the board function in the past, but we can only make that recommendation. Indeed, we have, and we've given our report, but we haven't had a response yet.
What would that do to reduce the number?
It, more than reduce the number, our recommendation was for the people to be selected according to their expertise in the area. And I'm pretty confident that the people we now have on the board have the kind of expertise that we require in the various areas to make the board much more effective. Well, we've only just begun, so we'll see.
Thank you. That will be all. I got only one question. In terms of whether you do have programs which teach South Africans about the importance of the land of the country. Because as we are saying, that it's difficult to manage these things, and some of the things are caused by South Africans in general, not only about government or politicians, but South Africans themselves. But I'm looking much more in terms of whether it's a matter moving forward, thinking about whether our curriculum in schools at an early stage to talk about these things, or are things which only happen when you start to be somewhere else later in life. But I'm just trying to think about how do we make sure that South Africans understand the importance of the brand of the country. That whatever we do, got the consequences to the rating of the country and what impact the economic opportunities and so on.
Thank you, Chair. I think every bit helps. And, you know, I'd urge you to look at the Play Hard campaign that we launched last year. You know, it's got very fun. We are meant to teach our South Africans about what it is that you need to do for your own country. And the country is ultimately the brand. But it, as you say, it requires much more than that. It requires that we take it to the schools. The simplest forms of doing this is we've embarked on a program where we're going to try and get people to have a flat in their homes. It might not necessarily be a big thing, but it is a constant reminder inside your own household that you are actually a South African. And as we forward with other means, then use that subconscious reminder to, I guess, unite us all around this big brand of Africa and the behavior that is required in order to make the brand accessible to everyone. So I can only say a bit helps, but we have a number of programs that are geared towards achieving exactly this.
Thanks very much. That's attentive to such strange. You know, when you go to these other countries, wherever you go, you can see that, like, in shopping complex, private offices, but in South Africa, it seems to be limited to government offices. And even some of those government offices, they don't even have the South African to a certain extent. But those are the thoughts that probably, I'm not sure in terms of the processes moving towards that, but because I find it very interesting that in other countries, you go to any shopping complex, you'll find the flags of that particular country flying high in those complex and offices and other things across government or private. They just seem to have embraced their flags and so on, but while getting there, I suppose, we'll get there one time. Otherwise, thanks very much, members. I'm not sure, Deputy Chair, as the leader of the delegation, whether we have to say something before we come to a conclusion.
Thank you, Chair. I can only say thank you very much for engaging with us, for the input that you've given us. It will go back and consider all those. And this is the kind of engagement that actually makes us realize the things that we take for granted, because we cannot do it all. So I can only say thank you very much for the input, and thanks for hearing us out.
Thanks, Deputy Chair. Members, I guess there's nothing. I know that you are not used to finish at this time. You used to finish at 1:30 and having only 15 minutes to eat before the house and so on. But it is true, we are done for today. this is where it ends. But I think, Deputy Chair and your team, at one point, you can pick it up. Some of the members have raised the issue. And it might be important. It's just that we don't have time, unfortunately. We are moving towards the end of this fourth parliament. I think it's something to think about in the future in terms of how to workshop within the members of the committee to understand your ratings and the other related issues so that it's clearly understood how it works and other things and so on. But it's to think about probably in the future on how to do that so that the members of the committee are also empowered to be able to deal with these particular issues and so on. Otherwise, thanks very much. Members, we are done for today. Enjoy your lunch. They are starting at 2.